And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Thanks for taking time from your busy schedule to join me. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 in case you want to call with a question. I am totally biased. I'm so biased that about the only thing that I want to think of is what can I tell people to take that would be good for them without toxic side effects? Anyway, this week I was looking up an article about the long-term use of hormone replacement therapy for the thyroid. And one of the websites I go to all the time to look up the effects of drugs, because I can tell you right now, there's so many drugs, I just don't even attempt to keep them memorized, what each one in the studies. Somebody's trying to call. We'll go to the phone lines and come back. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I want to ask you a quick question about high cholesterol and high inflammation. I just got my lab results back. My cholesterol is 308 and my inflammation is over 10. So,
10 on, now which marker? Do they call it HSCRP or
yes,
C-reactive
yes, protein? Yes, okay. That's it. Okay. My cholesterol is 308, my triglycerides are 130. And what I was concerned about, my question is, does the high inflammation make the high cholesterol? And how do you find out what is causing the inflammation?
There's a very simple test your doctor can order. It's called oxidized cholesterol. And so okay. If they want to do that, the only time that cholesterol ever presents a problem is if it's oxidized.
Okay.
That is the same as if I walked out to your car and I took, you know, a nail that I picked up off the ground, I scraped off the top coat and the paint, and I left the metal bare. Well, the next morning, moisture and oxygen would make it rust, right?
Right, right.
And so one simple test a doctor can order, it's called oxidized cholesterol. And that's the one proven way that they can determine if the cholesterol is actually harmful.
Oh, okay.
See,
great.
I kind of deal with this day in, day out, because somebody comes in and says, Dr. Morgan, my cholesterol is 289, my doctor's having a fit, he says he wants it to be 140. And I ask him, well, how do you feel? They say, I feel great. Well, what did you feel like when it was 140? Well, I felt horrible. I couldn't get out of a chair. I couldn't get up and do anything. But let me float two or three ideas your direction, and you tell me exactly what you think about them.
Right.
Now, I'm going to preface it by saying that what if cholesterol is the biggest sponge for toxins that your body produces that floats around the bloodstream?
Right.
I know that's a crazy thought, but I want to at least share that with you, because when they measure the blood cholesterol levels of children that live on these large industrial farms with their parents, where they spray herbicides, pesticides,
right,
insecticides, and chemicals, they notice that these children that live on those farms, they absolutely have the highest cholesterol readings of any children in the U.S. And so when those children move away from the farms that spray all the insecticides and chemicals, guess what happens to their cholesterol?
What?
It goes low, or it goes back to normal.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a reason why. And so I'm going to get to
your... Well, is that protecting it? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what it does. Cholesterol may be one of the greatest protection molecules of all time.
My main concern, is the inflammation, and it's been this way for a very long time. And the last couple of years, I always kind of feel like I have a really low-grade fever.
Well, that's because you haven't. Well, but you probably have some low-grade infection. That would study after study shows, if you're harboring some type of a very low-grade infection somewhere in your body, that could generate huge amounts of inflammation.
Well, that makes sense. I've had it ever since I had a terrible case of mono 5 years ago.
Well,
and it never really.
Oh no! You just answered the question for me. We're on the same track. You and I are completely on the same page. So what? Now it just depends on what you want here. If you want answers, one option that you have is you could go back to your doctor and say, "Doctor, I've been reading on the internet," which always makes them feel good, because I hear doctors love when you start Googling things and asking questions.
No, my doctor's actually very open. So.
Oh, well, then you've got a great one then. But the point is, if you are actively seeking wisdom and knowledge about your body, what's wrong with that? That's not a sin. That's
exactly
good. Okay, so you could, if you wanted to, you could go back to the doctor and say, could you please run some viral profiles? They could do everything from a chronic fatigue profile on viruses, and it can be several different versions of one that's called Epstein-Barr.
Would that ever change after you've had mono? Would that just always stay the same, or does that go up and down to Epstein-Barr?
Well, you're a woman, so you like the word called closure, don't you? No,
well,
so, well, you want things to resolve.
Right.
But
yes, right.
I think this year I have seen exactly six individuals that I determined through the examination they had like Epstein-Barr. And they all had a very similar story. I can never get my energy. I feel like I have to force myself to go to work.
Exactly.
I just don't have any endurance. You know, I'm exhausted all the time. And, you know, but then I'll have a good day. But then the day after that, it's a horrible day. And every day I have a good day, I get up and I do a lot of work around the house, but it wipes me out for 3 days straight. Mm-hmm. But that's what you would see. So you got to hold this idea that if your C-reactive protein, which is one of the most precise markers of inflammation that's, you know, brewing in your body, if that's at 10, then there's something going on. I don't care if the doctors figured it out or not.
They don't really know what it is.
My gut tells me that you're harboring some type of low-grade infection. Now, viruses, by their very nature, they cannot reproduce on their own. Now, they're not like a bacteria. The only way a virus can reproduce, it has to go inside of your cells and start stealing and breaking stuff off and, you know, swiping and robbing you in order to reproduce themselves. And so that creates a lot of inflammation. And a lot of the markers of inflammation are things like leukotrienes and cytokines. But when you get a lot of those produced in the body because of these inflammatory reactions, oh, man, you just feel horrible. You feel like, oh, my goodness, do I have the flu today? I can barely get up. But anyway, most likely, if you had a case of mono, it just hasn't completely resolved. Just to use your own words, it's been 5 years and you've never recovered from it, right?
I just don't have energy. I feel like I have a low-grade temperature a lot of the time. Not bad enough to stay home from work, but just not great.
Well, do you agree that your body is communicating to you that something's gone awry?
Definitely, and that I just want to know, how would you find out what that inflammation, and that makes sense.
Well, and here, there's always more than one answer to a question.
Right.
You could say, number one, the most important metric is finding out what the problem is. And I'd say, okay.
Right.
So you go to the doctor, and they say, well, ma'am, you're showing that you have high levels of IgM, which is called immunoglobulin type M, toward Epstein-Barr, and you're going to go, okay, what are you going to do about it? Well, we have some antiviral drugs, and you could take those, like acyclovir. The problem is, you might even be more fatigued and more exhausted and have a horrible headache as a side effect of taking them. So,
and I've heard from you that's just not. And you mentioned sugar. I completely quit taking sugar after listening to you. My joints hurt not at all anymore. That is,
oh wow,
you
are
really
one motivated. But here's the sales pitch that I want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
We could go the medical route with the drug, but what if there's a different way that no one's told us about? What if there's a way where we could actually strengthen the response of the body toward this virus to where the body or the immune system is able to kind of tackle it on its own? And so I'm going to point toward two different tissues in the body, and it doesn't mean I'm right, but usually with mono, the largest filter that you have of your immune system or the lymphatic system is called the spleen. And if you were to take on the left side of your body and just touch the very tip end of that free-floating rib called the 11th rib, it's just exactly on the if I'd take a plumb line as you're standing up and I have you turn sideways from your armpit all the way down to your waist, that's where that 11th rib is at the end of your ribs. When the spleen is majorly annoyed and upset because of a chronic Epstein-Barr virus, that becomes so tender. If I try to touch it, you'll grab my fingers and try to break them off and say, never do that again. It's so painful. And so I would just assume that your spleen needs some nutritional support. And so one of the ways of doing that is just taking what people took 200 years ago. They would take desiccated spleen. Usually it comes from a calf. So when a calf goes to the meatpacking plant or the slaughterhouse, they will harvest the spleen just like they would the heart or the lungs or the kidneys or the liver. But the spleen, that contains some of the most valuable nutrients to help your spleen rise to the occasion, overcome this infection. And so this could be, all these things could be major game changers, because if your body's able to turn and get over this, you can actually be free to live your life the way that you want and use your energy to bless your fellow man and help your family and work and take care of yourself and
back when serve I had
God.
The mono, it seemed to, tell me if this is right or not, it really affected my liver. My ALT or something like that.
ASC, ALT, yes. They were elevated, yeah.
That too. I mean, there were, one was like 300, one was 500.
I see, that should tell us right there that even just the mononucleosis can generate so much inflammation, even your liver starts to break down.
Right.
And that's what happens, so.
What do you think about a liver detox?
Well, I was going to tell you what I think, but if you want to talk about liver detox, we can.
No, tell me what you think. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. There's probably two herbs I want you to consider. One's called Chinese skullcap.
Chinese skullcap, okay.
The other one's called elderberry.
I've heard of elderberry.
Mm-hmm. These have very specific antiviral properties.
Oh, good.
And you could say this any number of ways. You could say, well, do they actually kill the virus? Maybe. Or do they help your immune system to do its job by rising to the occasion and going over to the virus and saying, hey, we are not going to allow you to live here anymore and secrete all your waste inside of us that's generating inflammation. We're going to corner you and beat you up and eat you. I've seen some of those computer videos of a white blood cell called a monocyte.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like they have little tentacles. They reach out and grab the virus and stuff it in their mouth and eat it.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
Sounds like a person with a bag of Cheetos. No,
it does.
But that's what you want to do. You need the tissues of your body to become stronger so they can resist a viral load. So anytime that there's a chronic viral load, there's several things you think of. Number one, maybe your body requires a little bit of iodine, selenium, and zinc. Those are critical players when it comes to your immune system being able to overcome a virus. So I would use spleen extract and maybe even thymus extract. If you were to look in the herbs, Chinese skullcap and elderberry, they would be a great, great aid.
Oh, I will do it.
One of my favorite herbs to help drain all the poison out once you start killing them is just ginger.
Oh, yeah.
I had I can't mention her name because she swore me to secrecy.
Right, of course.
And when she swears, when somebody says, I demand you give me a pinky promise you will not tell, then I can't tell. But anyway.
Can't tell.
So, without giving away her name, this woman calls me this week and she says, Dr. Morgan, I am miserable. She said, I am so nauseated, I can't function. My stomach is so unsettled, I'm just so nauseous, I'm in horrible shape. And so I said, okay, well, what have you tried? And she starts going down the list of what she's tried. And I said, well, has your husband bought you those little ginger chews? You know, little crystallized ginger?
Right, yes.
And then again, she goes silent on me. I'm just here, somebody stirring around the kitchen drawer, and she's digging around for something. And then I just wait, and I'm going, okay, has she forgotten about me on the phone? And she tells me, she says, hey, Dr. Morgan, my stomach feels fine now. I'm going, that was fast. So she found a crystallized piece of ginger she chewed up, and it just instantaneously, her stomach is, I'm telling you, if there was a drug that could work like ginger, it would be used in all the hospitals saying, we don't need to give you fenugreek or what's the other drug? It's
right,
called,
yeah.
Anyway, it's like an anti-nausea medication.
Right.
But if it worked like ginger does, but ginger is just a plant that grows in the ground.
Right.
So, and last week,
this, put it in your tea and stuff.
That's right. Last week, this woman sends me text, and she shows me a picture of her arm, and there's this huge burn. I think that probably she fell into a fire. I don't really know. It was pretty bad looking. But she said, the pain is intense. Should I go to the emergency room? And I tell her, I said, won't you just put some honey on it? And about 10 minutes later, she sends me a text. Okay, the pain's gone now. I'm just kind of laughing to myself. These things that God made, they work so, so fast. But if I were to bet anything, well, I don't mean it that way. That's just a figure of speech. If I were to give you what I think is how this is going to play out, I think you're going to find that when you come to terms with this, probably you have this consistent, ongoing viral load that's just not resolving and it's not going away. And I know this is the crudest way to say it, so please forgive me, but just like an animal will pee in the forest.
Right.
That's
right.
What these viruses do inside of us. They pee inside of us, and they secrete all their toxic waste. And that's where all the inflammatory responses come from.
No, that really makes sense, because that's just...
Well, I know that sounded gross, but...
But it makes sense.
Would you rather not have a body that viruses are going to the bathroom? Anyway.
I would rather not have that.
And so these are things that you can do right here to start to help yourself. The other thing that I want you to consider... Have you ever heard before that just about all antibiotics, they're generated from one type of a living organism? All of them. Do you know where penicillin comes from?
No, I don't.
Have you ever seen like an orange that has this blue-green mold growing on it?
Ew.
Have you ever seen like a kind of a mold growing on a piece of bread?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, well, that's where penicillin comes from. This fungus... it lives on the bread or the orange peel or the grapefruit or whatever it's growing on, and it gives off this natural antibiotic to suppress bacteria, and that's called penicillin.
Right.
And so there is... mushrooms are some of the most powerful plants when a person cannot get well and they can't find a way to overcome. They do such a wonderful job of giving your body the compounds to enable your immune system to overcome so many different problems. And so when it comes to one of the ones that's the most nutrient dense and packed, it's called chaga, or like Carla calls it, Chaga Khan. But you weren't in the 70s, so you don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, I was in the 70s. Oh.
Have you ever heard of a group called the Bee Gees? I bet you have.
Oh, I have. Oh, yes.
Why don't you hum a few bars or they're...
So, they're not. I don't want to frighten you so early in the morning.
So, if you will, consider those things. But we have to find a way to overcome this so you can have closure and healing.
What do you think about going on a low-carb diet for a while?
I think it's super smart.
I think that'd be a good idea for a while.
I mean, when a newborn baby comes on, you know, into the earth, or comes, you know, from mama's womb, is born on the earth, they're on a ketogenic diet. Even a newborn baby's on a ketogenic diet. How many newborn babies have massive infections of blood poisoning?
Not too many.
No, not at all. They got that good colostrum from the mama. They're on a ketogenic diet.
Right.
But yes, I have seen many,
many people.
Thought about doing
that for a while.
Well, if somebody has a chronic low-grade infection that's just never going away, and you think to yourself every day, you know, I think I have a low-grade fever. I just don't feel right. I'm exhausted. Please consider maybe something like a ketogenic diet or a low-carb diet. Give your body a fighting chance.
Right. I cannot tell you enough how that thing with the sugar, because my joints they would hurt if I would accidentally bump my elbow. It would be so painful. So I cut the sugar out completely. I mean,
that's proof right there that a lot of your inflammation load is gone.
Yeah.
But when you have a C-reactive protein, which is a lab test or a blood test, and it shows 10, then you've got trouble brewing inside of your body. And of course, it's not my job to bring you down. I'm trying to lift you up. So
I know I've got it. I feel it. You know, I just, ever since I've had the mono 5 years ago, I don't feel bad, but I don't feel good.
Well, that's enough to go with right there.
Exactly.
And so either you can take off on this course toward healing, or if you want to spend several months going to doctors getting lab tests so they can kind of look at... See, that's one of the aspects of medicine that I like and I don't like. I don't like the idea of watching and waiting when a person says, I don't feel horrible, but I don't feel great. I'm kind of stuck in the no man's land here. I would rather take action. And so any time that the immune system has been compromised and there's massive inflammation, I really, really think that what you do every day is going to be one of the major turning points, which means don't take a day off from this. You go on the attack or on the offensive, and you do things every day. So if you tell me, what can I do to support my liver? Well, you could drink dandelion root tea every day. What could I do to support my immune system? Well, you could take mushroom extracts just about every single day.
What would the mushroom... Chaga, is that mushroom extract?
Yes, uh-huh. Well, that's the name of the mushroom. Sorry.
Right. Okay. I
promise you, if I lived where there was birch trees and it was cold, I'd be out in the woods today looking for some.
Oh my goodness, that's
hey,
great!
Hey, you could go with me, and I could say, "Ma'am, you see, there's one that's 60 feet up the tree. Could you shimmy up there and get that for me?" I'll hold the bag here below.
Oh, I'm sure you.
No, but
oh, that's wonderful.
If you can't find one, you know, locally, you right. may want to consider just going online, because, you know, not all these things are available at every store.
Right, right. We have a granary here, but it's kind of small. But I don't know if they would take... So mushroom extract, would that...
Well, all you have to do is just ask them.
Okay.
If you call up Wynn and you say, Wynn, Dr. Morgan says, if you don't buy me the shog of mushrooms, you're in big trouble. And I will... Oh, I will be all over him like a duck on a June bug.
I will do that.
He's absolutely the nicest guy of all time. He'll probably be laughing listening to this right now.
That's great. That's
so
wonderful.
Whatever you do, you just got to really hold this concept that every day you have a chance to move the needle closer to back restoring your health, but you're not better off by harboring. See, what will happen is, if your C-reactive proteins stay at 10 for much longer, mm-hmm. eventually you're going to have systems begin to break down.
Right.
And if you
right.
want to say, what about my kidneys? What about my liver? What about my intestines? Or even, you know, the big one's the brain.
Right.
Just
exactly.
the brain and the heart and the arteries, they will start to break down prematurely, and you don't need that.
Exactly. I don't need that, no. Well, so I would start with the Chinese skullcap, the elderberry, and probably the mushroom extract,
mm-hmm.
and ask my doctor to do the oxidized cholesterol and do a viral.
Sure, you can do whatever you want.
Right. Well, I'm getting that gives me so much to start, and I really
Good.
Do appreciate. I
you're in,
to you
you're in the driver's
week.
Seat. Oh, thank you so much.
Every week. So thank you so
you're,
much for your time
welcome.
And your expertise, and appreciate what you do.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for listening to KBGS. Uh-huh. Bye bye.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. Bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm going to hang up. I mean...
Turn off your radio?
Yes.
You're doing great.
Okay, big question for you. I'm saying it's a big question, but
okay.
to me it's big. Okay, last week, I believe it was, that I heard you talking to a lady or someone about prostate problem, your problems, and I wrote some of them down, but I did not get the first two.
Who has the prostate problems?
No one that I know of, but I do have a son, so...
I can tell you what I think. There's a type of mm-hmm. a mushroom that you can buy inside of every grocery store. It's called a white button mushroom. And those
okay.
are usually the ones that you find in the produce section where they have, I guess it's like an open-air refrigerator. What do you call those things? Just wherever they have the greens and the mushrooms. They're just trying to keep them
yeah.
cool in the store. But in that
okay.
study, they took men that had major prostate cancer. And all they did was they gave them white button mushrooms every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the study, it didn't say how they ate them, but you could use your imagination. They might have had them in mushroom soup. Maybe they were sauteed with their eggs. Maybe they had them in a salad. But either way, they took those white button mushrooms. I think they're
okay.
called the agaricus mushroom, but I just call them white buttons. Sometimes they're called baby Bellas. But it's just that little white, you know, capped mushroom that you get at the grocery store. In the produce section. But what amazed me about that study was they had several men that their PSA, which is one particular blood marker that would point toward the prostate having mm-hmm. a problem, it went back to zero just from taking the mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the idea that if a man wants to have a healthy prostate, I mean, mushrooms are certainly one of the things that he can consume that helps kind of put him mm-hmm. in a better place. And even for women
yes.
that eat the most mushrooms, they have absolutely the lowest breast cancer on the planet.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God, yes.
Yes. Okay, but, the other question I have for you, since you didn't give me the two, I had the list, and one of them was zinc. And juniper, and I might not have written this right,
Cryptolepis.
Lepus, P-U-S.
I'm going to spell it for you right here, but I got to write it down first.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I don't remember everything that I said, but let me say it this way. More people are dying from infections now than what they were 20 years ago. And more people get a hold of these antibiotic-resistant bugs, super bugs. They can't do anything with them. I may have told you what I read about a month ago. If a person, you know, like you and I, if we want to go somewhere to get like a raging bacterial infection, well, guess mm-hmm. what? There's one place to go to get that. It's called the hospital. And in the mm-hmm. hospital, besides the emergency room, the hospital bathroom is the number one location where if you go into it and you touch the faucet with your fingers and you touch the door or flush the potty, you're asking mm-hmm. for it. And so we have all these germs now. They eat penicillin like it's candy. They eat antibiotics like there's just breakfast for them. It doesn't even kill them anymore. Anyway, this is a plant. It's called Cryptolepis. A lot of times, usually in the herbal kingdom, the leaves have a certain amount of the potency, and the branches that hold the leaves have a little bit more. And the trunk holds even a little bit more of the active ingredient, but wait till you get to the root. That's where all the energy is pulled from the soil. Be hard for a plant to grow without a tap root, wouldn't it?
That's true.
So Cryptolepis is spelled C-R-Y.
Okay.
P-T-O.
Okay.
L-E-P-I-S. Cryptolepis. I hope I spelled it right.
Okay, so it's really two words.
No, it's just really one, but I'm probably phonically making it sound like it's two or three words.
Okay.
Cryptolepis.
All right.
And so that is, and there's several varieties, but the one I'm trying to think of what the Latin name is for it. I can't remember, but if you look up Cryptolepis and you purchase it in a tincture format. A tincture is where they've macerated the herb with probably a significant amount of alcohol and let it set. They either use like a cold percolation technique or they'll use like a maceration technique to soak it. But you're just trying to extract the medicinal benefits from the plant that God has made for us.
Okay.
But Cryptolepis is one of the, that's one of the ones I think about when somebody has infection and they cannot get well. I heard a story this week about a woman who's been fighting and battling an E. coli infection for 2 years, and the doctors at the Mayo Clinic have just given up on her. They've kind of, well, forgive me for saying this, they've just turned her over to her demise, I guess you could say. So a lady called me and asked about her, and I said, well, could you tell her about Cryptolepis? Of course, in her case, any time that your immune system starts to battle an infection, some of that bacterial debris is going to break down, it's going to leak, and that makes people really, really sick. But that's where, yes, and that's one of the reasons why you can get really sick with an infection. It just leaks all that waste, and it's just pure poison. But one of the ways to help with that is ginger, just fresh ginger. So if you had a juicer, and you could go to the grocery store and just buy a ginger root, run that sucker through the juicer, if you were to add that to aloe vera gel or aloe vera juice or herbal tea, anything to cut it, but that ginger, it has got to be one of the most effective drainage remedies of all time to make sure the poison leaves your body. Could you imagine what would happen to you if you were really sick and on top of that you had horrible constipation and you couldn't pass your urine? You would be in sheer misery because there would be no exit route for the waste to leave your body.
Right. And then his pops start swelling too.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that. That's one of the reasons why, after a couple of days, a person's just miserable if they're constipated, right?
Yes.
This woman told me the other day. She said I hadn't had a bowel movement in 1 week, and I kind of thought to myself, "Oh my goodness, what would I feel like if it's been like 1 week?" Oh man.
That's horrible right there. I just hope that never happens to me.
Well, if it does,
that I know.
That's right. You wouldn't even wish this on your enemies, right?
No, my worst enemy.
Do you believe that do you believe that Bible passage in 1 John 4 that says God is love? Do you believe that's true?
Yes, I do.
Me too.
Most definitely.
Well, I think
a lot of us wouldn't even be here, really.
Amen. I think the second part of the verse says, he that does not love does not know God, because God is love. Do you believe that?
Right.
Well, evidently you do, because you wouldn't wish us on your enemy.
Right.
Good job.
Yes. That sounds like it comes from first the book of John, the first.
It is first John. Yeah, you're right. Chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that's a good chapter, too.
Boy, that almost makes me feel good. You know right where it is.
Yes.
You're a good girl.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you, oh, God, I just got it already. I'm sorry, I can't think of it.
I got you distracted. I apologize. But thank you so much for your phone call. I enjoyed talking to you.
Listen, and I'm a person that was listening to you long ago. I'm surprised you didn't recognize my voice.
Well, I didn't have to, because I could see that round gold bracelet on your wrist that you bought at a garage sale.
Yeah, okay.
Am I right?
No.
Oh.
No, it's been many years.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call, though. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yes.
Okay. Take care and have a good day, ma'am.
Okay, and I'll call you back if I ever think of that.
Okay, sounds good.
It's real important.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Thanks,
of yourself.
Bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Hello, welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
My granddaughter is 6 months pregnant, and she had a kidney infection that put her in the hospital for 3 days.
Oh, bless her heart. Goodness.
And, of course, they treated it with antibiotics, and they told her that she's going to have to go on low-dose antibiotics for the rest of her pregnancy in order to keep the infection down. What can she do?
Okay. I know these questions I'm going to ask are going to be a little bit personal, but is this her first baby?
Yes.
Okay. Is she at 6 months? If she's 6 months pregnant, she probably hasn't gained much weight at all, has she?
No.
Okay.
Because she was quite sick first 3 months.
You mean like with morning sickness and nausea?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And she couldn't eat.
I don't know if you picked up on what I said earlier, because a lot of times I just throw information out too fast, and I just don't cover all the bases. So please forgive me if I don't, but. One of my favorite remedies of all time is just the use of that plant or that herb or spice called ginger.
Okay.
And so let me just give you a concept. Probably the vast majority, these are just a numbers game right here, the vast majority of all kidney infections or bladder infections are from one particular organism. It's called E. coli. Have you ever heard of Escherichia coli?
No.
Sometimes people will get it if they eat tainted spinach or greens of some kind from the grocery store, and there'll be like a recall, or there'll be like a ground beef recall or chicken recall or hot dogs, and they'll say, whoops, we found some E. coli. Send back your hot dogs to us. We don't eat them. They could make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that tends to hang out in the urinary tract and the kidneys. But if you just consider taking ginger, if she went to the grocery store, or actually you went for her, because she probably didn't feel like, actually she might live in three states away from here for all I know, but if you went to the store and you bought her some fresh ginger root, now that's what works the best. I've tried everything. That stuff works like a champ. That woman I told you about that had the horrible, horrible nausea and her stomach was unsettled, she just chewed up one little piece of ginger and it instantly alleviated all her symptoms. And I just thought that was kind of comical, because it worked in about 10 seconds. But ginger is very, very effective when you're dealing with infection. even with the use of an antibiotic, the antibiotic, which means like anti-life almost, is going to break down the bacteria to where it dies inside of you. But what does your body do with all the dead carcass and all the contents of the bacteria that have like spilled out into, you know, your blood? Well, that makes you feel sick. But ginger helps wash that stuff out. And so if she could take ginger every single day, that would put her in a much better place than where she is right now. That would help drain the poison out of her. Now, I know you're not asking my opinion about a woman that's pregnant taking antibiotics full term. I just think, anyway, never mind, I'm going to keep my mouth closed. But ginger is one of the things I would do. The kidneys seem to do really, really well when you eat green vegetables. So if she loves cabbage and broccoli and spinach and kale and greens and more greens, that's perfect for her. One of my favorite plants that she can get and she can start drinking right now is just dandelion tea. Dandelion tea is so good helping to gently clean the liver and the kidneys, and it's so safe during pregnancy. I mean, people used to eat this stuff all the time. You probably heard me tell the story before about Geronimo and how Geronimo would eat dandelion greens to give him strength. Which I think Geronimo was not a weak spined man. I think he was a pretty tough cookie, wasn't he?
Yes, from what I've heard.
And so if she were to eat one large green salad a day and use some type of an olive oil salad dressing, that's going to help her immensely right there. Now, I know that I sound a little bit harsh in what I'm telling you, but I just don't think she can eat grains right now. That has always been my standing opinion with chronic kidney infections. Give the kidneys a break by not eating grains, things that convert into sugar. Obviously, I don't want her drinking sugar. Maybe Red Bull right now would not be the ideal beverage of choice for a pregnant woman, which, you know, that's an exaggeration, but soft drinks are so hard on the kidneys. So if she can eat green vegetables and maybe a little bit of meat, she's going to have some protein because she's growing a baby. But to counter this, if she could start sipping on fresh ginger juice, and maybe I would say we can negotiate on this. We might have to put that like in 4 ounces of apple juice to make it taste palatable. But if she does that, a lot of that poison from the bacteria and the antibiotics is going to start to leave her body, which is exactly what we need. The less of that crosses through the placenta and the umbilical cord of the baby, the better off we're going to be. But we've got to support her kidneys. She could drink 2 cups of dandelion tea a day. She could put like a spoonful of raw honey in it to make it taste a little bit more palatable, because to some people it does have a certain amount of bitterness. But one salad a day is just going to be phenomenal for her.
Okay. I'm writing all this down to tell her.
Oh, I figured you were, because I heard the pause. Yeah, I can hear your pencil moving 95 miles an hour. Now, I know what I'm going to say is going to sound kind of nutty, but just kind of hear me out. Her kidneys have been fairly stressed, haven't they?
Yes.
One of the oldest remedies that's ever been used for the kidneys is just called baking soda. So if you go to the store and you buy a pound of baking soda, what does that cost? 14 cents maybe? Or 95 cents? But it's cheap is what I'm saying. I was reading where there was an archaeological dig, and they said, "We think we discovered where the kitchen was." And I said, "How do you know? There's baking soda everywhere." And I thought, "Okay, they found the kitchen." So she can run everything I'm saying past all her doctors. I'm sure they're really on top of it. But when the kidneys have been severely irritated from an infection, baking soda is just very comforting and very soothing. So okay, maybe a half a teaspoon and a little bit of water once a day. But she's probably very computer literate and computer savvy, which means she could probably say, "Grandmother, I don't know if I can trust Dr. Morgan. Let me look this up on the internet first. I'm going to read about baking soda and kidney problems." And she'll go, "Oh, my goodness, he's right. Wow, that's a first." And so if she can take, of course, if this was an emergency, and there was no antibiotics, I'd probably give her some juniper berry extract just to help drain that infection out as quick as possible. They did a study one time with a wicked bacteria called E. coli. And if the woman would only do one thing, it worked 95% of the time. You know what that one thing was?
Mm-mm.
Well, every time they would go to the bathroom to urinate, the woman would bear down with just a little extra force, like she's trying to push the urine out. Mm-hmm. I started to say extra firm. That didn't make sense. What I should say is she's trying with an extra inordinate amount of force to really push it out fast. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you do that, it just flushes away all the E. coli.
Hmm.
There's a product that's sold at almost every store. It's called Azo, A-Z-O. It's made from cranberry extracts. And cranberries contain many things. They contain hepuric acid. That prevents bacteria from, like, sticking to the lining of the bladder and the ureter. The way they used to do this 100 years ago is they would say, the doctor would say, well, let's figure out if this is a bladder infection or an infection of the ureter or an infection of the kidney. And what they would do is they would say, tell your granddaughter to have 3 mason jars ready when she wakes up. The first third of her morning's urine goes in jar number 1. The second third goes in jar number 2. And the last third of the urine goes in jar number 3. And so if she puts them up in the kitchen window, probably not going to do that. that's what they used to do. If the first one becomes cloudy and jar 2 and 3 remain clear, then the doctor goes, aha, I knew it was a bladder infection because it comes cloudy. That's the urine that came from the bladder. If it's the second third that becomes cloudy and the other two remain clear, that's when it's an infection of the ureter. That's that tube that drains the urine from the kidneys to the bladder. But if it was the third one that was cloudy and the other two were clear, they would say, oh my goodness, the infection is in the kidneys. That's where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ways to do this. If she were my little girl, I would tell her to walk barefoot in the grass every single day. And as nutty as it sounds, when there's stress on the kidneys, walking barefoot on the grass is very helpful to them. I did not say I completely understand each and every mechanism, but it's free. Actually, it costs less than the baking soda costs, and the baking soda will cost her half of a penny.
She goes barefoot a lot, but I'm not sure she goes out in the yard.
Well, she will once you tell her.
Okay.
And so every day she has an opportunity to kind of get to a better place. And so antibiotics are very, very famous for causing a woman who's pregnant to gain a whole lot of extra weight that she didn't want to gain.
Mm.
I don't know if you've heard that before.
No, I have not.
So we do not need her with her first baby to gain 45 pounds.
Mm.
Maybe 20, maybe 25. But 45, there's going to be a whole lot of fluid. There's going to be a lot of swelling. She's going to be more prone to toxemia and preeclampsia. And so the other thing that I want you to tell her to take every day is going to be zinc and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime the kidneys are stressed, you need magnesium. And zinc is the cornerstone of the immune system.
Okay, I'm writing furiously.
you're doing great. But I think I've got her a good starting point.
Yes, you've given me very many suggestions.
Well, I sure hope I've helped her.
Oh, I hope so, too. I hope she takes it to heart.
Does she have a name for the baby picked out yet?
Yes, she does. Julian.
Julian?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a girl or boy?
It's a boy.
Okay.
Julian. J-U-L-I-A-N.
Okay. That's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish her the very, very best, and I thank you so much for your phone call. I hope you have a great day today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad to be here for you.
I'm so glad you're here.
Let me know how it turns out, okay? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. We have about 15 minutes left. Plenty of time for another call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5900. 5257. Good morning. Thanks for your call.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I am a T5 paraplegic, and this week I received a flu shot, and I've had excruciating pain in my arm ever since then. My arm has swollen at the top where the shot was. I've got a big knot up there.
I'm so sorry.
What can I do about it?
Well, like I told the woman earlier, when you have any contact with a bacteria, whether it's live or dead, you're worried about the parts of the bacteria causing an immune reaction that's pretty toxic. And so I would say that you qualified for that. So if anyone can go to the store for you to help you out and get you some fresh ginger, ginger works wonders with these things. It'll help drain the poison.
So what do I do with the ginger?
Well, if you have access to a juicer, that's just a device. When you drop the ginger root into the juicer and you push it into these blades that are rotating at high speed, it just gets the fluid or the water or the liquid from the cells, and it comes out in the form of a juice. It's almost like if you took an apple and you ran it through a juicer, it would just grind it up to where the pulp would go one direction and the juice or the liquid of the apple would go the other direction. That'd be apple juice. But you can do that with ginger. Now, ginger's pretty potent stuff. I don't think you need me to tell you that. But if you could start sipping on ginger juice, that is going to help a lot. Now, the other thing that I think of that I would do if this were me is I would purchase what's called food-grade activated charcoal. Sometimes it just goes by the name activated charcoal, and that comes from several sources. It either comes from hardwoods like a oak tree or a hickory, or it can come from coconut husk. And it comes from other stuff too, but those two are easy to come by. If you took about a half of a teaspoon to maybe one teaspoon of just the activated charcoal powder, stir it in a glass of water, and you sipped on that, that would soak up a lot of that the poison that you're dealing with.
Okay. Thank you. Would that be like at the granary, or where would that be?
Well, today the granary is closed, so you may want to go to Drug Emporium or some other place that's going to be open for you, because you need this now.
Yeah.
So while you're there, I am a huge fan of dandelion root tea. It helps gently clean away toxins. It's very gentle. And I think the more things that you can do to help yourself, the better.
Okay, and all this should be at the Drug Emporium?
Yes, ma'am, it should. Well, I don't know if the ginger root's there. I mean, you could always take ginger capsules, but that freshly pressed ginger juice is phenomenal. It works very fast. That's why I told the story of earlier, that woman that I talked to on the phone this week that said, I have horrible nausea, I'm sick and throwing up. She chewed up just one piece of ginger, and within 10 seconds, all her symptoms went away just instantaneously. Very powerful stuff. And just think, God made it for us.
Yeah.
Isn't he
perfect
good?
Position.
He cares so much about us. We have all these things to ease our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so rooting for you. One more thing. Can I add on just one more thing?
Yes.
When you've had a toxic reaction to a vaccine, there's one homeopathic remedy that I know you can get your hands on. It's called Nux Vomica. And that's spelled N-U-X. And the second word is almost like vomit. It's Vomica, though. V-O-M-I-C-A. And if you'll start just taking that like it says on the label, that will help neutralize and negate this toxic reaction that you had from the vaccine. I bet you this time next year you don't get a flu shot.
You're right.
There's a homeopathic remedy called Osilisocococcinum. That stuff works wonders for the flu.
Okay. I appreciate that very much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You,
I wish you the best. Let me know how it turns out, please.
All right. Thanks.
And thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I read an article this morning, and it said, if you have diabetes, all the chambers of your heart are significantly smaller than someone that doesn't have diabetes. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, all these changes that take place to the body just because of diabetes. So if you have it, let's work on reversing it. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I called you a few moments ago, and I thought of what it was.
Well,
and
you
I
have
cut
to turn
the radio down.
Yeah, that's the only way I'll be able to hear you.
Yes. Okay. What it was is, and I guess it's an allergy of itching, and I have to scratch it. Now, I have been taking vitamin C, and that helped it some for some years, but now it's back, and it gets into my eyes, and I want to scratch it, and they just turn red. You would thought I was a vampire just to look at me. But
open your mouth. I need to take a look at your teeth real quick. I'm not joking.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. And my nose would run and my eyes would run. Well, I did call my eye doctor, and then he gave me some drops because I do have glycemia. And
you have what now?
Glycemia. For the eyes.
Glaucoma?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
No, that's all right. I'm with you.
Yes. Okay. So, anyway, I got Claritin, what one of his nurses said, but that wasn't strong enough. It didn't help him. They just wanted you to take one of those.
Well, what is the worst thing that you're dealing with these allergies? Is it the itching of the eyes?
Yeah, the itching of the eyes. But when I went into the hospital and I told the lady, because I was taking allergy from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
They have one that's $4 and they're in capsules. And I'm getting it down now. It's called Allergy Relief. And it's in tablets. So I would have to take four of those for them to really help me. And along with my vitamin C, which I took quite a few of them. When I say quite a few, it's about four of them every 4 hours, maybe. But so anyway, they did give me something in the hospital for the itching rather than the allergy relief. And I'm looking it up now. It's called hydroxyzine. Let me spell it for you.
Well, it's a drug. One thing that you might consider, there's a plant called the nettle, N-E-T-T-L-E. You might try just drinking about 3 to 4 cups of nettle tea a day and see if these allergies...
Is that the one that the stickers?
Yes.
On
it? Why, yes, it is. And why? And why do you ask, young lady?
Well, because I have gotten into them.
Well, I want you to drink it, not roll around in the in your backyard. I met a man this week. He was so angry. I thought he was going to kick a bull nettle barefoot.
No. Wow.
No. Yes. Oh, they get your attention, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, hello, you cute little plant. You, would you like me to pet you? Oh my goodness, is that the way you're going to treat me? But if you'll drink about 3 to 4 cups of nettle tea a day, all you can do is see. Yes. And the other thing that I would think of, I just know if it was me, if I had horrible, horrible allergies of the eyes, I know this is going to sound nuts, what I'm going to tell you, but this is what they used to do 100 years ago.
Okay.
If somebody had horrible allergies and they were just in misery and they didn't want to go to school, didn't want to go to Sunday school or church, they wanted to stay home because their eyes were so irritated, the doctors back then would prescribe what's called a coffee retention enema. A coffee retention enema. And so if you were to go to the store and buy, it's usually called a feminine hygiene kit. They have that red hot water bottle. You just put the 2 cups of coffee in that, let it cool down to body temperature. mm-hmm. when you turn it upside down, hang it from the shower, I started to say shower. What am I thinking of? The washcloth rack or the shower head or the bar that holds the curtain in place. If you if you just can take that into the lower part of your colon and hold it for 10 minutes, there is a major purging of toxins from all over the body. They leave your body.
Okay.
You know, maybe a year or two ago, I read an article of these 34 different people that were all given up for dead. They were all sent to hospice. But all of them decided, no, I'm not taking the morphine. I'm going to start taking a coffee enema. But all of them were cured of their cancer. Now, I'm not saying that I'm guaranteeing it's a cure, but you have to understand that to get a human body to heal, you've got to get the toxins out of it. Toxins interfere with everything. And so
it comes back even after I take the pill that I just told you about.
Well, of course it comes back, because the pill's just changing, is just flipping switches momentarily. Just like if you took a capsule of morphine when you have horrible pain, you could say, oh my goodness, I don't have pain anymore. But as soon as the morphine wears off, the pain comes back with a vengeance, right?
Right, it does.
So a coffee enema will start the process of cleaning all the tissues of your body if you wanted to. But we've got to find a way to help you.
Sure. And I appreciate it. And that's the reason why I called you. I was listening to you last week, like I said.
Well, I'm glad you called back. Try those things and let me know if that works out for you, okay?
Okay, is that the only thing now that you can think of?
Oh, no, I could think of about a million more things. We only have about 4 minutes left of the program. No, if you want me to keep going, I don't mind at all, number one.
Okay, well let
Anytime
me tell you
that you
this.
Have allergies of the eyes, you've got to avoid dairy products like they're the Black Death and the Plague.
That's right, and I do.
And so no milk, no ice cream, no milk chocolate. And so if you'll steer clear of that, but some people really benefit if they just take a break from eating, and they might just have a mono fruit diet, like they eat all the watermelon they want for one day. Some people, believe it or not, do well on pineapple. Pineapple can be very cleansing if you can tolerate it. Not everybody can. So whether you choose cantaloupe or watermelon or pineapple, you could just eat that all by itself while you're drinking herbal teas all day long. And some people... Okay. The longer they fast, they notice that their allergies just disappear and go away because the load or their burden is lifted.
Yes.
You could soak in a bathtub with Epsom salt to try to help pull some of the waste off your body.
Okay. I thought about that Epsom salt. I really did. My doctor only just gave me some drops to go in my eyes.
Well,
and it hasn't helped.
Well, anytime you have glaucoma, you always think about vitamin C.
Your body
needs vitamin C.
I definitely take that.
Good.
If
you will be faithful with the nettle tea for about 4 or 5 days, let's see if you're in a much better place. I mean, today is what, Saturday the 28th?
Yes.
Let's just say this in the middle of next week, like Wednesday the 2nd. You should be in a much better place. You can go, okay, are you better today? Yep, I'm better today.
Okay. I appreciate you so very much.
You're welcome. I'm glad you called.
I hope you have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, you too. And God bless.
Oh, thank you. I need it. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I pray God blesses you also. I've been reading about it. It's called the Asian Raisin Tree. I didn't make up the name. That's the name of Asian Raisin Tree, but it's called Miricetin, and that's spelled Miricetin. I think that's what the compound. But they're finding out that when people take Miricetin, it completely kills their desire to drink alcohol. Well, that might be valuable. Well, the program has officially come to an end. This is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I'll be back this time next week.